Good morning and welcome to Light in the Darkness. My name is Red Mark. Well, it's the day after Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a blessed time with family and friends on a major holiday in this country, isn't it? And now the madness begins, the Christmas season. I can't imagine what it must be like out there shopping today. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today in a different kind of way. I'm going to talk about the human dilemma. That's the title of this commentary, and it's dated the 24th day of November of 2017. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 in the New King James Version. It's now been a year since the last American presidential election, and we seem to be witnessing an increasingly disturbing division amongst the general populace. Numbers indicate that it seems about split down the middle, half relieved, and the other half not. In fact, many of the knots are so upset that they've descended upon the streets of the cities and the cities across the land, proclaiming racism, sexism, and many other isms. Even many college-age students are curled up in their freedom from fear sanctuaries, sucking their thumbs while wrapped in their blankies. Simply, we have evolved into a sad state of affairs. Now today, I would like to share with you a very brief bit of recent history. Now, using my own experiences as a guide, basically, it is an overview of how the collective minds of the multitude shifts with the tides of times. I'll start with my joining the military in 1960. Yeah, I'm old. But then I was only 18. It was a time of relative peace in the little world. About a year later, I was assigned to a ship, and we soon set sail for the Far East, the ultimate destination being Australia. But something changed. Our military was now getting its interest into the Vietnam War. And you guessed it. Instead of Australia, we turned right in the South China Sea and went to that war-torn country. And we ended up spending about 19 months serving there. Now back home, this war was becoming more and more unpopular by the day. In fact, so much so that many of us who voluntarily served were spit upon when returning home. Well, needless to say, it didn't do a whole lot concerning our patriotism at the time. Now, also taking place during that era of unrest in the nation were demonstrations involving peace marches, which was disgruntled whores in the streets voicing their support of peace and love while burning down buildings and destroying normalcy of life as we've come to know it. And fast forwarding to today, we see similarities, don't we, in the overall consensus of the masses. And once again, the people are in the streets because they didn't get their way. They want the election results thrown out so that they can have their perceived agendas fulfilled. And once again, we are seeing violence and death threats cast towards those we've chosen not to follow. Now, when contemplating these two different periods of unrest, we can observe some distinct hypocrisies. In the 1960s situation, the points of revolt were based upon peace and love while burning down cities. Today, those protesting argue that we need to be more accepting and less judgmental. Words like inclusion and diversity, they're the general buzzwords that are thrown out there. And it's all good, until they don't get their way. And as per usual, as history proves out, all hell breaks loose. Now here's my point. It has always been this way, in varying degrees, of course. In the approximately 6,000 years of human history, no government system has prevailed for very long. Somebody always comes up with a better way. And the prevailing culprit always seems to be that people, when becoming wealthy and powerful, choose only to follow their own agendas at the expense of anybody or anything that gets in their way. And the bottom line is that they, as long as people are in charge, it will never last for very long. Having witnessed just a few brief glimpses of this truth in my years here on earth, and then studying the history of those before me, the only source I've come to depend on is the Holy Bible. In many passages, it has summed up this human dilemma quite precisely. Now here's just one of them. Quote, "There is none righteous, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit, the poison of asps in their lips. Those mouths is of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. No, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Now, when sizing up all this, for those who put their hope and faith in the ways of man, the result always ends up in fear and consternation for the masses. Isn't that what we are seeing in America today and for the rest of the world as well? No human system, be it capitalism, socialism, communism, or any other ism, will ever satisfy the entire masses. Someone or something will always raise its deceptive head to change the course of things. So what's left? Where do we put our hope? Obviously, you know where I'm going with this. The Bible tells us that very soon, the Son of God is coming back into this beleaguered planet to once and for all fix this mess we've all assisted in creating. And it will be a theocracy ruled by just one, and that'll be Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the meantime, we need to do our best to survive in the system where God has placed us. That means praying for those who he has ultimately put in charge, whether we like them or not. We also need not fear or be in trepidation as to what or when it all comes about. Just remember this one important thing. It will. Now, Jesus told us that we who become his followers, which are the remnant today, will not be very popular in this world. He says very clearly, in John 15, verses 18 or 19. Now hear this, this is important. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Wow. It says it all, doesn't it, as we see persecution rising. I will leave you with this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, so I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. It's enough said. Until next time, this is Rhett.